Hi, it's Anne Strainchamps. I was in Vermont recently visiting my family, and one of the pleasures of being there is my dad's book collection. He's got shelves and shelves of first editions, modern firsts. That's what he collects. But the thing about his books is that he doesn't read those first editions. I mean, he reads the books, but what he does is he buys the first edition, puts it on the shelf, and then he goes to the library and borrows a copy to read. And I was thinking, what is that about? There's something sort of wonderful and a little crazy about that. So this hour, on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, The Art of Collecting. For example, take 78 RPM 78s, records that are so old, there are hardly even any machines left to play them on. Some of the oldest and rarest were made in Grafton, Wisconsin, just down the road a piece from us. And the thing is, they made them just to throw in as kind of freebies with their phonograph cabinets. But they just happened to record some of the earliest blues music in American history. And so for collectors, these old 78s are legendary.
And for years, there were these rumors that when the Paramount Records pressing plant in Grafton shut down, when everybody was laid off, the employees were so aggravated and so upset that they hurled all the dead stock records, so all the records that had been pressed but hadn't been sent out for distribution yet, they just frisbeed them into the Milwaukee River. So collectors would talk often about how, that's why Paramounts were so rare, because they were all rotting away at the bottom of the river.
That's Amanda Petrasich. She discovered 78s when she was working on a story about collectors, and she kind of got bitten by the collecting bug herself.
So I'd been hearing those rumors, and I found out that there had been a show on PBS called The History Detectives who had sent a scuba team into the Milwaukee River to look for the records. They didn't come up with anything, and I watched the episode, and I thought, oh, my God, that's fascinating. And then I just started thinking, like, well, they didn't do it right.
Left a bit last night and four flowers in my feet. I went to bed last night and I was in my feet.
No, I had no idea how to scuba dive. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in the Milwaukee River. I thought it would be quite a bit simpler than it turned out to be. Learning to scuba dive, I am a runner, but I am not really an athletic person. I have no interest in extreme sports. I'm not really so into the ocean.
Hey, mama, tell me what have I? Tell me what have I? Feel love. Hey, mama, tell me what have I done?
We did the dive in July, which is one of the only times you can dive in the Milwaukee River without having to wear a dry suit because the water's usually so cold. And a dry suit complicates the whole process even more. But we were wearing wetsuits, and I remember standing at the side of the road in Grafton, and I'm changing into my wetsuit. And there's cars driving by on their ways to, their way to work, and they're just looking out the window. And I could just, some of them were honking. I could see on their faces, like, what in God's name is that person doing? Why is she changing into scuba, like putting an oxygen tank, changing into scuba gear the side of this river? But I did end up jumping in the river, which was very scary, and kind of very shallow in that particular stretch, but also runs very fast. So I would sort of get in there and I would fall over just by the force of the water. Dug around for a while, swam around for a while. We did find some bits of machinery that seemed as if they were inevitably kind of part of the old pressing plant, but we did not find any Paramount records. And I remember getting out of the water and just thinking, like, of course you didn't, Amanda.
Amanda did not find any Paramount records that day, but she did find something else. The whole crazy, weird world of collecting. This hour, we're talking about the obsessive longing that drives people to collect things. Compulsively. For example, Amanda wound up writing an entire book about 78 collectors, people like John Hennigan.
He was the first person that I spoke to about collecting who framed it as a disease. I mean, I remember sitting in his apartment and him saying, like, this is sick. We're all sick. And he also talked about it, and these were two things that ended up kind of defining my research on the topic for the next couple of years. He also talked about it as a kind of addiction, that you're always looking for the next hit. It's never enough. you know, you never sort of reach the end of the line and say, I've got it, the collection's perfect, it's complete. You always want more. You know, the more you have, the more you want.
And so one of the first 78s you listened to with him was Mississippi John Hurt's Big Leg Blues.
Yes.
Yeah. What was that like?
You know, he dropped that needle into groove, and I just remember just sort of feeling like, this is very dramatic, but feeling like my insides dissolve. I mean, I felt closer to that song than I'd ever felt before. It just, there was something, and I don't know whether it's necessarily the fidelity of the recording or just the sort of ritual and the experience or the proximity to something rare and beautiful and unusual, but it just, it sounded closer to me. It sounded more intimate. I just remember thinking like, oh no, you know, I'm down the rabbit hole now. Like there's no coming back from this.
Hennigan also had this holy grail
He'd
been looking for a while. It's a copy of Skip James' Devil Got My Woman, which is a recording so legendary. It had this kind of mystical aura.
Whenever I think of Devil Got My Woman, I think of that movie that Terry Zwigoff wrote and directed, Ghost World, starring Steve Buscemi, who plays a 78 collector. It's sort of one of the only depictions of 78 collectors in all of cinema, I think. And he plays that record for his sort of young protege, a character named Enid, who's played by Thora Birch. And the record finishes playing, and she says to him, I want to hear more records like that. And he sort of gives her a look, and there's a pause and says, there aren't any more records like that. Mm. And I think Devil Got My Woman is a particular example of something that just sounds so kind of ghostly and strange and singular. And I could understand why a guy like John would come to be sort of both obsessed and possessed by it. I mean, it just drove so much of his collecting, his desire to kind of get his hands on that thing that was so strange and so affecting.
It's almost like being possessed.
Yeah.
And in fact, didn't Hennigan tell you that there were times when he dreamed about finding records?
Yes. Yeah. He told me he would dream about finding a record and would wake up. And anyone who's had a really great or really terrible dream knows that moment where you wake up and it sort of takes you a half a second to realize that you were dreaming. And he would dream often about thinking that he had Devil Got My Woman. He told me it would even get so bad that he would wake up and then would get up and go check his shelves to sort of make sure it wasn't there, you know, because he wanted so badly to believe that he'd found a copy of that record, of which I think there are only maybe two or three extant copies in the world. So the chances of him achieving that dream are pretty slim. Yeah, woman, I love, woman.
Amanda Petrusich. Her book about 78 collectors is called Do Not Sell at Any Price. And hey, if she made you want to hear more of those old Paramount records, we made you a playlist. You'll find it on our website at ttbook.org.